Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on the God of the Bible. We just read, just sang at the beginning of the song there, Good, Good Father. Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you are. That's why we had to get to the God of the Bible, because there are 1,000 stories out there. Amen. And so we need to understand who this God of the Bible is, who is our Father. Amen. And so we are going over this. We've been going over this quite a while. We've come now to the sovereignty of God, and we've discussed the sovereignty of God for several weeks. And so let's go to our foundation text concerning the sovereignty of God. And that's found over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Glory be to God. And looking at the 13th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Again, we're talking about the perfect perfection known as the sovereignty of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Feel like running, and we should feel like running, because praise and worship is enough to get folks running. Amen. Amen. Remember, the goal is to live, quote unquote, Monday through Saturday in the presence of God, giving Him the glory, and you just bring all that in the church on and corporately when you come in on Sunday and Wednesday. You follow what I'm saying? So you just ready to explode and things of that nature. So glory be to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ, or in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which appearing, is what's implied there, he, who is God the Father, will bring about in his own time. He, who is the blessed and only sovereign or potentate, which is absolute ruler, the King of kings, or King of those who reign as kings, and Lord of Lords, or Lord of those who reign as Lords. He alone, verse 16, possesses immortality, meaning he's exempt from death, and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen. So be it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So we're talking about the sovereignty of God. God is independent. He's autonomous, possessing unilateral authority. When we say he's sovereign, he is subject to no one, influenced by no one. He always does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. And there's no one that can stop his hand. Amen? Amen. That's good news. That's a powerful, powerful Father. Amen. Somebody got the Big Ben, if you can turn Big Ben off. And so we've read a ton of scriptures concerning the sovereignty of God. Let's go back over the last two, and then we're going to get into Providence, which is under the sovereignty of God. James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 15. James chapter 4, verse 15. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And we talked about that last time. That is that you acknowledge God's sovereign will in everything you do. All the plans you make, whatever it is. And again, not in the real some things, even though we say in eating and drinking, we acknowledge, do all to God's glory. That doesn't necessarily mean that you want to necessarily ask God, do I eat Cocoa Puffs or do I eat, you know, Ralston, you know? Or do I eat oatmeal or do I eat, you know, Count Chocula? I don't know, they didn't make that cereal anymore. So, but when we talk about things like, you know, the previous verse where it says we're going to do this and do that, we're going to buy and sell and get gain in verse 14, you know, that's what he's talking about. We're just making our plan. I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to take a vacation here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to ask for a raise. Let's say, love the Lord's will. Yeah. You can plan. We talked about that under the goals series. You can plan, but make sure that you acknowledge the sovereignty of God. That's what Proverbs talks about when he says, in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. And what? What's the promise behind that? He will direct your path. You want to be led? Acknowledge God. It's scary to walk about here and you're doing your thing and really have not asked God. But you, man, you walking out there blind. You don't know what's going to come out of that. Better to wait. We tell Brianna all the time, rather for you to be single. I know you want to be married, but better for you to be single and in God's will than married and out of it.
Hello.
That's a nightmare.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Revelation. So there's this verse here again, James 4:15, is teaching us that we are to acknowledge the sovereign will of God in everything that we do. And I thank God that it is a habit with me that I'm constantly saying, if it's the Lord's will. Lord will, we see. Lord will, Lord will, Lord will. The old folks had it right. You know, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. But you should say, am I right, Papa?
Amen.
Yeah. That was acknowledgement of God's sovereignty.
Amen.
They may not could have said it that way, but it was acknowledged that, hey, God is in control.
Yeah.
We will see the mouth of the good Lord willing. And the creek don't rise. Amen. Revelation chapter 4 was the last one we spoke on the sovereignty of God. And as I said before, we just covered, we barely scratched the surface in all of the verses that cover the sovereignty of God. But this is enough. We probably covered about 15 of them. That's enough to really know that the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is solid in Scripture, all throughout Scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, reading out of the ESV. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Is he not worthy to receive glory, honor, and power?
Yes, he is.
Why? For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed. What will is that? His sovereign will. They existed and were created. Why are they here? Because he willed it to be here. And that's the will that in James we are to acknowledge in everything that we do. Because he is in control. He is in charge. Heard one preacher praying, and he preaches, called him master throughout the prayer. So we say Father God. All of those titles are good. But as Dr. Eric Mason, and master, this and that and the other, and master, it's a reminder, we're slaves, we're loyal subjects of the king. If we keep ourselves in the slave category, then we won't think of ourselves as so such and much. You realize, you know, I'm a slave, I don't have the right even to just go ahead and start making plans and doing deals and doing things of that nature, transacting business situations. And just picking friends. You don't have the right to just live your life. I don't have the right to live my life. We don't have the right to live our lives as we see fit.
Amen.
But as he sees fit.
Yes, Lord.
Our prayer is, Lord, make us fit and able and ready for your use.
Amen.
So that we may bring you the glory.
Amen.
We may bring you the honor. We may bring you the praise. We do fall down. Donnie McClurk, that was right on point. We fall down, but we get up. And we get up. We fall down. We get up. He enables us to get up.
Amen.
And for that, we are forever grateful.
Amen.
Now, so sovereignty is the main heading here. But under sovereignty, so if you were doing this kind of raggedy, but if you're doing like an outline, my scholars, you have sovereignty as a heading, and then a subheading underneath sovereignty is providence. You follow me? This is where providence fits in under the sovereignty of God. That's why I put that on the board so you can actually see a visual picture. We're still talking about sovereignty, but we're talking about another aspect of the sovereignty of God, which is providence. Definition. The term providence is derived from two Latin words. Two Latin words. Pro and then vide. Pro and vide. Pro means before. Vide means to see. This refers to God's foresight. God sees and knows the future, having declared the end from the beginning, right?
Amen.
Now, let's slip over to apologetic so you can defend this too when that comes. When we talk about foresight, God sees and knows. Concerning salvation in particular. Because it'll look like that us who are quote unquote Calvinists and the Arminians are on the same page, because we both are saying that God sees ahead, and he does and knows all things. But we differ on what God sees when he is looking ahead. You follow? We both agree that God sees ahead. But what God sees is where we differ. Quote unquote Calvinists, and we believe what the word of God says, that when God sees and looks ahead into the history of all mankind from Genesis to Revelation, he sees a mass of dead corpse littering the landscape, spiritually speaking. Just death everywhere, spiritual death everywhere. Whereas an Arminian sees folks that are greatly, gravely ill, but not dead. Now, we both agree that God is seeing ahead of time. But that subtlety comes in what he's seeing. Ephesians 1 and 5 says, you who are dead in your trespasses and sins. So, and then Ephesians, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short. So if all have sinned, then everybody is dead, spiritually speaking. So I just kind of want to make that delineation. We both, when you hear foresight, it doesn't necessarily mean that person both agree with the same thing God sees before everything gets started. But what he's seeing is what differs a little bit. God does see and know the future. He sees before and knows everything. I know you read it before. We can turn it there again. No problem hearing it again. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Okay, mother got it. Remember, verse 9, the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Only God can do that. How can God declare the end, which means the outcome or how everything turns out? How can he do that? Except he first knows from the beginning what's going on. And so in that verse, you see that he sees before. And before, well, before it ever happened. That's how he can declare the outcome before it ever got started. That's the foresight, foreknowledge of God. And from ancient time, verse 9, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I told you those are the most gangster Godfather statements you'll ever see. Because he's saying, my purpose will be established, not might be. Amen. And I will, no doubt about it, accomplish all my good pleasure, period. Calling a bird of prey from the east, verse 11. The man of my, why can I call a bird of prey from the east? Because I made that bird. I'm over that bird. I completely control that bird. And I can tell that bird, come here from the east. Or the man of my purpose from a far country. Come on over here from India and get on over here to America. Or go from America over to Africa. Why? I made the man, I made the country, I made the people that he's going to go and minister to. I, the Lord, did all these things. Amen. Truly, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely, I will do it. What are we worried about? Ever, what are we worried about? I understand the temptation of worry. But man, put your trust in God. Amen. He has this thing under control. Mm-hmm. Period. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, this knowledge of him being able to see before, his foreknowledge. I like how one commentator put it. This is not a passive knowledge. Well, what do you mean by that? It's not that the Lord is looking into the future as if he is watching a movie. And in watching this grand movie screen known as the history of man, he's not watching it and going to learn what will happen. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we tend to think of God as watching a movie. Well, he does know what's going to happen because he saw it all happen, but he was watching it like us. He's not learning what will happen. Rather, as one commentator put it, his knowledge of the future comes from his foreordination, which means to determine or decide beforehand in advance of whatsoever comes to pass. And that's where people trip up over God. That's why people don't want to deal with God's foreordination and sovereignty. Because it makes God seem a little strange to us, seem a little off. Because I want to say this again. What I just read was profound, and I need you to hear it. And it is always controversial, but you know, here we don't shy away from that if it's in the Word. Hear it again. It does not mean that he's sitting there watching as it were a movie screen and learning what will happen. He's not. That's not what that means. It's not passive. It's an active knowledge, meaning that his knowledge of the future comes from his foreordination, which means to determine or decide beforehand. Beforehand means in advance or ahead of time of whatsoever comes to pass. He determines, he decides beforehand, in advance, ahead of time, whatsoever comes to pass. At that point, when you break that down, that's when a lot of Christians jump off the train about believing in this, the God of the Bible. Because that's not the God they like. They don't want that God. Well, why are you saying that? Because of this. We've said it many, many times over here at Word of Life. Here's God sitting in eternity past. Nothing here is created. Not one molecule, not one atom. You've heard it before. Hear it again. In eternity past is this divine huddle. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Those are the only three beings in existence. Walk it through with me again. There is nothing else in existence but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Like I've heard this before. Yep, Father God, help us to get this out of our heads and into our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Holy Ghost, we need you right now. Please do not sit there saying, I heard this again. You told us this 25,000 times ad nauseam, ad infinitum. Yes, so that's why the prayer needs to be prayed. Because you can think, you can know it here, but have really not, that light still ain't came on yet. When the verse says the entrance of God's word giveth light, I like to believe that that word has to, that the entrance that it's talking about is into our hearts. When it gets down in there, Mill, boom, the light comes on. Oh, I see. That's what I want to happen. I know you've heard this before. Hear it again. And so in eternity past, you have this huddle of three. Again, nothing is in existence. Not one molecule, not one atom, not one piece of dirt, no angels, no devil. Nothing is in existence. Nothing. Not even darkness. That's tripped out. You want a headache? Try to figure dark. Try to figure nothing beyond darkness. Yeah, can you think of that? Not even darkness was even in existence, because darkness is the absence of light, but there's no such thing as light. Shoo! Yeah, that's right. Just get some ad, get some Advil. Let it fix your mind. Can't figure that out. Even time didn't even exist, because in eternity there is no time. That's way beyond us. Okay. Now we're set up a little bit in our mind as best we can as being finite beings trying to understand an infinite eternal God. And so then God, lack of a better term, which is probably not a good term, he presses the play button. But God is a director. He's a producer. You follow me? Yeah. He's not just, when we go to a movie, it's already been produced, already been directed. The casting has already been done. All of the wardrobe and everything. We're just watching the movie just unfold while we're sitting there letting it wash over us. This is God intimately involved in all of it. Let that sink. Say lie. This is why people jump off. And Christians really, I like the analogy. We when we get talking about evil, presence of evil and the devil and Charles Manson and Adolf Hitler, that's when people just, Christians punt the ball, using a football analogy, because we backed it into a corner. Like, okay, I'll just punt this. You know, I don't know what to do with that. Nothing is a distance. Here's the play button. He know God in his, nothing's happening yet. He's just seeing it before it ever gets started. So he's seeing it before it ever gets started. We just read in Isaiah that he declares the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to turn out before it ever gets started. Here's the play button. That's probably not a good analogy. And Father God, if there's a better one, let me know. He sees, lack of a better term, himself creating this Lucifer, loose light, angel of light. He sees the day that iniquity is found in him, as the prophet spoke. Iniquity was found in him. And he became the accuser of the brethren. He became a deceiver. He became a murderer. God saw that before it ever got started. He saw two little 5 foot two dudes who would be known infamously as murderers, Adolf Hitler and Charles Mills Manson. He saw President Kennedy go down, forgot the street in Dallas, and get his head blowed off. Or Dr. King's almost, his whole, all that. He saw all of that here in eternity past. And again, foreknowledge of the future, foreordination rather, to determine or decide beforehand, in advance, ahead of time, of whatsoever comes to pass. He allowed those things to happen. Why? Somehow it works into his plan, and somehow that fits into his glory. Amen. I don't understand it. I will never tell you I understand it, but I can't run away from it and say, well, you know, I can't do what it's called in among theologians, this word theodicy, theodicy. There's theos, theo, dike, which is righteousness, God's righteousness. In other words, theodicy, according to theologians, is a defending of God's righteousness, to defend him. well, what had happened was, we go through all these things to try to defend God so that he looks more palatable. Hey, you gotta let God look how he look. God don't need any defending.
Amen.
We're not trying to convince you that God is God. God, I like how one preacher said, God ain't running for God. He already been elected. He ain't running for God, Mill. He already been elected. He is God. So I know we get intimidated by the presence of what I just said, but the fact still remains that Charles Mills Manson did not create himself. The devil did not create himself. Adolf Hitler did not create himself. They were all created by God. Now, God didn't create them evil. God didn't make them evil. He didn't make them do evil. But he allowed their evil. Hey, my black people. Yep, he allowed slavery. He saw all of the millions that would die just going from inland Africa to the western shores of Africa. If you remember, for those who were here on that series, there were 20 million, it has been said, who died going from inland Africa just to the western shores of Africa to even go over to the United States. The trip from inland Africa to western shores of Africa was several hundred miles. And many died on the way just from there, just trying to get to there. God saw all of that. 20 million. Let alone those that died on the middle passages. Years of slavery. He allowed his own people to be enslaved. The Jews. For over 400 years. I don't know why. I look at the Lord and it's like, wow, children really break my heart. Little ones suffering terribly. Little girls as young as 5 and 6 years old in sex slavery. Sure. It's not going to ever cause me to lose my faith in God. Never. But the more I study sovereignty, I just got to keep it moving. Like, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know you're perfect in all your ways.
Amen.
You are sovereign. I'm a finite being trying to understand an infinite God. I don't understand why you allow these things. Didn't cause them, but he allows them. And all of that was determined before it ever got started. He saw it before it ever got started. The foreknowledge of God and the foreordination of ordination, again, means to determine or decide beforehand what's going to come to pass. I'm allowed that. Does God owe grace to anybody in the world?
No.
Because what he could have done was just allowed us all go straight to hell, and he would have been just as righteous as ever in doing so.
Amen.
Why? Because we would have got just what we deserve.
Amen.
We could have been Charles Mills Manson. We could have been Adolf Hitler. We could have been asleep. He could have flipped it and had the black people, because all folks are sinners.
Amen.
The blacks could have been in charge and beating on the white folks. No, we're not going to run from it here. He's sovereign. We may not like what he allowed, but he allowed it. We better bow down to it, and we better be respectful in doing it. Because God did chew up Job. He said, hold on, look at the hole. Who is this? Hold on, young buck.
Yes.
Who is this who coming up in my presence speaking of stuff that he don't know nothing about? Speaking of counsel without knowledge.
Amen.
He allowed it to go on for a long time, and then he checked Job.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hold on, dude. It's like Apostle Paul in Romans 9. He checked that. Who are you, old man? Hold on now. It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God, an angry God. But we still better watch ourselves, because he doesn't burn us up at the first time we start to question him and wagging our heads to him. And we are sin-sick people with very limited knowledge who barely understands the surface. We barely have scratched the surface in understanding who he is, and we're going to judge God with gavel dropping certainty. Be very careful. Because folks got that wrong. The grace of God doesn't last always. He runs out. Mercy runs out, and wrath begins. God loves everybody the same way and everybody unconditionally. No, That's what my preacher told me. That's what he said. That's not what this preacher telling you. This preacher ain't telling you that. God loves folks differently. And you know, if you know the word of God, God does not treat everyone the same in the Bible. You know that. If you're just a casual reading of the Bible. He chose Abel and not Cain. He got the right to do so. Please turn that off. Somebody please turn that off. No, you see the button on the bottom to the left. To the left. Yep, on the bottom to the left. Yep, right there. Thank you. That's it, bro. That's it, dude. That's it. Yep, just one time. That's right, it comes off slowly. It'll cut off. Thank you. Oh, I trust God. I believe God. Yep, until it comes to sovereignty. Until it comes to providence. Now, I don't like that God. Now you want to make up a God. He determined everything. Let's just stand here. I got to be flat-footed and tell you this. He determined and he decided. That's what foreordained means. Beforehand. Foreordained. Ordained means to determine or decide. Fore means before. In advance, ahead of time, of whatsoever comes to pass. He decided. He wasn't sitting back here watching a movie to learn. He was intimately involved all the way through. So early death of my father, 47 years old. Right there. We don't get it. Like the lady told mother, there's a whole lot of more knucklehead men out here than Mr. Harris. I don't know why God took him. Why not take all these knuckleheads? Why take the one that got five kids and trying to do right? I don't know. Either we're going to trust God or we are not.
Amen.
It's either going to be Hebrews 11, 5 or whatever, 6, where it says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. I see that. But we must first believe that he is. It starts there. Am I right, Miss Mealy? It starts right there. First, that he is. The Lord had to bring Miss Mealy to that point. Like, okay, he's real. Glory be to God. I thank God for the boldness to preach it.
Yes.
And if everybody walk out, get job and preach right here to the chairs, because I'm still called to pass the word of life. And if word of life turns into a bunch of chairs, then I pass it, then I'll preach to the chairs. And if more pastors would have the guts to go ahead and teach this, my man, the church of the body of Christ would be in much better shape. Because you got to trust the Holy Ghost to do what he got to do.
Yes.
I can't worry about people being offended. I can't understand it. I don't get it. All of it.
Yeah.
We never will.
Amen.
That's not a reason to not inform the people of God.
Man.
You do them a disservice when you don't inform them of all of his perfections. Mm-hmm. I told you there's a movement of foot saying, oh man, we ain't really going all the attributes of God. We kind of tone all that down, man. Anybody trying all that? We will talk about love and mercy and grace, but we ain't trying to talk about all that other stuff. That's too much. People tired of that. So not only ain't God running for God, we not running for office either.
Amen.
Pastors aren't running for office either. It's not about appeasing the people. You let them know what God says. You let them know what God says about himself. If God said it about himself, you are obligated to teach it, Pastor.
Amen.
And so his knowledge is not passive, it's active. His knowledge of the future comes from his foreordination. He determines and decides beforehand, in advance, ahead of time, of whatsoever comes to pass. He works out all things according to the counsel of his will. We just read that, Ephesians 1:11. Which means his will establishes or determines all that ever happens. I'm going to say that again. He works out all things according to the counsel of his will. That's Ephesians 1:11. Comma. Which means his will establishes, which means determines all that ever happens. His will establishes or determines all, everything, anything that ever happens. His will determines it. Simple. This is so simple. Can't deny it. Here we go. Simple logic. Is God not all powerful?
Yes.
Did he not see? Let's pick one. Charles Manson formed the family, Death Valley, and that family three would go out two successive nights and butcher. Did he not see that?
Yes.
And God is all powerful, right? Keep the logic going. Is God not powerful enough and have the authority, two things, to stop them from doing that?
Yes, absolutely.
Could he have stopped them?
Yes.
But he didn't stop them. Right? He let them do whatever they wanted to do, right?
Amen.
Okay, I got two people, right? Everybody else is kind of like scared to say it. Okay, this ain't no trick question. I want you to understand it. Could God have stopped them?
Yes.
Is he not all powerful?
Yes.
Does he have all authority?
Yes.
So he has the authority to stop them, and he has the power to stop them, and he's able to stop them, but he didn't stop them.
No.
So in that sense, then, God willed for that to happen. Do you understand? In that narrow sense. Not that he caused it, but the fact that he, that's why I walked you through those things first. Could he have stopped it? Yes. Is it authority to stop it? Yes. Is it powerful to stop it? Yes. But he didn't stop it. So in the fact, in the sense that he knew, did God know it was going to happen?
Yes.
He knew it was going to happen. Has the power to stop it. Has the authority to stop it. Is able to stop it, but didn't stop it. So in that sense, he then willed for that to happen. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Boy, if y'all got that even up in here, that's major.
Yeah.
Still didn't cause it, but you got to walk through that. Got to walk it through. When you're teaching your family, Monsieur, the evangelist to her family, when you're teaching your family, you got to walk them through it. It's going to be hard to hear. That's right. Thank God we're recording this. But if you hear what you just said, yep, he got the authority, he has the power, he has the ability, but he chose not to. Why? You all off into what we don't know. I don't know why. That's not what I'm asking. I'm trying to get you to understand something. And then in that sense, in that narrow sense, God then willed for that to happen. Now that messes us up. Miss Palmer, that messes us up. Because we think of all the things, and my dad and mama and sister and Dr. King and slavery and all these things. Cancer. I hope when we say that God is still in control, it takes on a whole new meaning. Because when all hell breaks out, first thing the devil wants to tell you is God is no longer in control. Why did God let this happen? This, that, and the other. So when you start to question God, the devil like, good. Because if I can get you to question God, hopefully you will reject God, at least during this short time, then I can have full reign during this storm that you're going through. Glory be to God. That's how he operates. That's why all hell break loose at funerals. Around the death period. The person died on Monday, and the funeral not till next Monday. You got 7 days of hell. Until I started doing funerals, I didn't know how much hell breaks out in those families. Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Folk out the woodwork, people go crazy. That's why we always pray. That comes from experience. When somebody dies and there's a situation going on, we pray, those who know you, let them trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the calm is going to come. It's not going to come from those who don't know. The calm got to come from those who know. Whoever know you and their father, let their voice be the loudest. Please. If I don't teach that God is sovereign, and if I don't teach the providence of God, if I don't teach the foreordination of God and the foreknowledge of God, then I'm not teaching about God of the Bible.
Amen.
Period. Flat out. End of discussion. Period. I got to trust Holy Ghost. And he'll take this hard message and he'll do what he needs to do with that. That's not my job. I got to at least sow the seed so it has a chance to grow. If I don't sow the seed, then it can't grow. Excuse my passion and emotion. I want to take those preachers and take them all outside and bust them in the head with a baseball bat. You know what you're doing to the people of God when you don't tell them who he completely is? They'll only trust them then when things are going sunny. For I hate the prosperity gospel. And you and I both know you are not going to have all sunny days in your life. You know that. So why aren't they preparing you for the rainy days that are going to come? And it's not necessarily you, but you got sisters and brothers and cousins and nephews. You know they're crazy. And you know you just one 2:30 a.m. call away from some grief. You know that. I know that. Yes, God allows it. Yes, God determined to allow it. We got to do is say, like Job, the Lord gives, Lord taking away. Let's be the name of the Lord. I've heard my wife say many times that I thank God for the time that my mama was here. The years, how many years you have, baby? 34 years. And how long you had mother? 31, I'm talking about, yeah. Mm-hmm.
31.
Because she's thanking the Lord already. We don't know when mother going to go home. But she said, I thank the Lord for the time. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Only had my dad for 9 years, but some of you may not have him even that long. Lord, help us to just thank you for whatever you give us. Because you didn't even have to give us that. Am I right? He didn't have to give him under 9 years. He gave Judy 4. He could have gave her none. My dad could have been gone. And we never knew him like so many nowadays. Father God, help us to thank you for what you do to us and for us and through us and to us. Help us to appreciate your amazing grace and your mercies that are new every morning. In the name of Jesus. He works out all things according to the counsel of his will, not your will, not my will, not our will. Because if we were God, we let everybody live. Everybody be good. Everybody go to heaven. Why? We don't have a holiness to protect, like how one preacher says it. We don't have a holiness to protect. We don't care. Everybody go. Homosexuals, abortionists, same-sex marriage folks, everybody just go. Go on into heaven. But I'm not God. A holy God. Is God. And he has a holiness that he is going to protect, and he's fierce in protecting his holiness. I hope that statement resonates in your spirit, because listen to the next one. That's why every single sin that every human being commits has got to be paid for. You put them two together, hope that turned on the light. Because he is holy, every single sin of every single human being that has ever existed or will exist, it must be paid for. Somebody got to pay for it.
Amen.
If you're born again, Jesus paid for it. If you're not, you're going to pay for it.
Amen.
That's what being saved is. Being saved is having the wrath of God removed from your life. Because we were under the wrath of God. He works out all things according to the counsel of his will. which means his will establishes or determines all that ever happens. Let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Okay. You got it, mother? Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. I love that I can take you right to the word and you can read it for your own self. I'm not making this stuff up. Yeah. He said works how many things? All things. So is that good, bad, ugly? He didn't say good things. He said all things. That means everything. You just read it. When he allowed this bad thing to happen, he did it according to the counsel. Remember, counsel meaning it was something that was thought out, Ephesians 1:11. It was predetermined. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't capricious. It wasn't a just on a whim. Everything is thought out by God. We'll close with this. We'll close with this. This is from the Heidelberg Catechism. Catechism is that which we do a series of questions that we teach usually with children too. I'm going to try to spell Heidelberg, H-E-I, I think. I don't know if that's right or not. Yeah. D-E-L-B, is it U or E? B-E-R-G. Heidelberg, it's an I. Heidelberg Catechism. C-A-T-C. C-A-T-E-C-H-I-S-M. Catechism, again, is a series of questions and answers for use in teaching Reformed Christian doctrine. That was in the 16th century. The Heidelberg Catechism was in the 16th century. Again, catechism, again, is a series of questions and answers for use in teaching the Reformed Christian doctrine. Like, who is God? And you tell who God is. And who is Jesus? And you tell who Jesus is. Those kind of things. They've used to teach that. Here it is from them. I'm going to leave my laptop up because there's no way you're going to get all this. It's a paragraph. So you can just, I can email it to you and come up and copy it, whatever. Here it is. Quote, "Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand," period, end quote. I'm going to read that again. Do you see that? One more time. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth. Heaven and earth and creatures. Now, upholds with his hand, meaning everything he that is up in here, if you will, is being held up by God. You know, we're taught in elementary school that when the apple fell from the tree and hit Sir Isaac Newton in the head, what was discovered? What law was discovered there? Gravity. Now, some preachers are real gangster with it, saying, he said gravity was just a made up name because they didn't know what else to call it. I mean, that, you know. So I say that they just gave a name to something that got it already. That's why I like to teach it. They gave it gravity. They called it gravity. Now, But how subtle that is, the subtle beasts of the field, is tricky, because we'll let these quote unquote laws of science actually replace God. You know, why did this happen? Well, because of this equals MC squared, because this happened and that happened. No, it's all because of God. I will teach gravity to my children, but let them know that's just a law that God caused apple to fall. He made the law that when something goes up, it must come down. That's God's law. Man named it gravity. You put it in that context, you're good. But it's God who is upholding all things with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them. Why add that in there? Because there are those who believe, we talked about this some years ago, that God created the heaven and earth and then walked away from it. He wound up a clock like a watch and then hit the start button and then let it go, and he doesn't control it. That's one of the explanations for why there's evil and chaos in the world, because God has just walked away from it. No, he rules all of it. What does he rule? Things like the leaf on a tree, a blade of grass, the rain and the drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us, not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Period. My dad's death on July 11, 1968, 8 p.m., when we found him, was not by chance. It didn't surprise God. So I ask you, my scholars, when did God know that this was going to happen? Eternity past. If you really understand that, when, not if, when tragedy strikes you, what's going to help you kind of stay sort of on keel is remembering, you know, God, you already knew this was going to happen. You're not surprised. You got all strength. Help me walk through this. That helps me out when I hear things. I just tell God, well, this didn't surprise you. It surprised me, but not you. So walk me through it. Show me how to do it. What I need to say, how I need to think, how I need to feel. Help me right now. I need you. And I find comfort in that. You know, God, this didn't surprise you. It's blowing me sideways. I'm gone. But you steady. You're stable. You're firm. You're fixed. You're established. I stand on you. Walk me through it. And then help me walk others through it. But now my mother had to deal with her husband's sudden death and 5 children. She had to help her brothers through it. And God gave her the strength, I don't know, for her to walk through it herself, but strength to even help her brothers, her big hulking brothers that were collapsing on her tiny shoulders, but really mighty shoulders, because those shoulders were bolstered by God. Mm-hmm. All things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. We close Ephesians 4:11. Exodus 4:11, read it before. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Can I do it all? Father God, we bow down to you, our master. You are our master. You got the right to do whatever you want to do, because everything you choose to do is going to be holy and righteous and pure. Amen. And that's what we got to understand. Now, what you allow may not be holy, righteous, and pure, but the fact that you allowed it because you did it is holy, righteous, and pure. Help us to make those distinctions. Father God, this was real thick today. This was a thick piece of hunk of meat, raw, no seasoning. Help us to say la, to chew on it, digest, ingest, and digest. And help us to realize that this too is breathed out of your mouth. Amen. And is profitable. Just as profitable as any of the other scriptures. The doctrine of your sovereignty is just as profitable. And we thank you for it. In the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.